Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Soccer matters.
Shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, rebote y el gol! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. A moment here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they are committed to working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. If you get in a car, boat, motorcycle, maritime accident, it's not comfortable, but you need representation. You need the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com, on your side. In Austin, it's DaspitLawAustin.com. Again, the number in Houston, 713-322-HURT. Supporting Soccer Matters and the great game of football, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a big thank you to John and his firm. Let's get hour number two underway. All right, here's part two. Simon Bykovsky, chief Manchester City writer of the Manchester Evening News. Julian Alvarez, River Plate. This is our kind of neck of the woods here going down to South America. I'm just wondering how aware the Manchester City fan base is of him and how much talk there is around him. And the expectation of him coming into battle for playing time, where you see that fits?
Yeah, he's very much an unknown quantity, but what the fans have seen of him, they absolutely love. You know, he not much was known about him when Man City signed him in January, and it was a bit unclear, speaking to people at the club, whether he would be a part of the squad for this coming season or whether he'd be loaned out somewhere or kept at River Plate for longer. Because it takes a lot to adjust to the Premier League. But as the season has gone on with River Plate and as Man City have finalised their plans, it was like, no, this guy's staying. This guy is coming to Manchester with us and we are not letting him go anywhere. And that is that's a huge vote of confidence for him. You know, I think it'll be great. Obviously, all the attention will be on Haaland when Man City come to Houston because he's, you know, he is who he is, but I think it will be great to see the reaction for Alvarez as well, because you know, City have a history of kind of South Americans in the team over the last decade or so, and they've still got Edison, but Fernandinho's gone and Gabriel Jesus has gone, and you know, Aguero and Otamendi and all these players have disappeared. So Alvarez is kind of the new South American for this new generation. And there's a hell of a lot of excitement about him. Like, people are really excited to see how he does. And I think, given that Jesus and Sterling are on the way out, that Alvarez is going to get a bigger role than maybe people expected.
Boy, that's, again, these things are fascinating to me, adapting from South American football. You know, I'm watching him the other night in the Copa Libertadores, and now to think that he's going to be integrated into the top team in the Premier League, it's just amazing. And that's notwithstanding the great talent we know that he possesses. All right, we got to give you a quick hit here on Zach Steffen, and had a bit of a struggle. He's had a bit of a struggle. He's obviously going to go on loan to Middlesbrough. What do you think his future will be at City? Obviously, this is a move for him to prepare for the World Cup with the United States. But you know, just give us your educated opinion on Zach Steffen and his time at City.
Yeah, it's difficult for Steffen. I spoke to Greg Berhalter actually around the time Steffen was coming to City, and he was kind of saying, you know, he doesn't want his players to be sitting on the bench, but if they're sitting on the Man City bench and kind of getting games, then it's okay. And he kind of solidified his place as number one, I thought, and then over the last 12 months kind of seems to have taken a step back in the US team to the point where, you know, he feels he needs a loan to get out. I feel Stefan's a very good goalkeeper. I think he might be, the best option for them at the World Cup, even if he stayed at City, but there's far more chance that he would be if he plays regularly, because, I just think you cannot get the level of performance and that rhythm that you need if you're only playing one or two games. And that is all it would be at Man City this season before the World Cup, because there aren't many kind of cup games for Stefan to come in and rotate. And Guardiola obviously is going to pick Ederson for as long as he's fit. Where Stefan goes after this season, I'm not sure, because Man City have now signed Stefan Ortega Moreno, this backup goalkeeper who has come to be number two. And that's on a 3-year deal. So Stefan still has a few years left on his deal, but he's going to have a fight on his hands to come back and be number two. So he's effectively relinquished his place at City to make sure that he's number one for USA at the World Cup, which, fair play to him for doing that, but it's a gamble. And he's going to have work to do next summer. So we could see him move on next summer to a new club, maybe. But obviously for him, the priority is the USA and the World Cup. And you can understand why he'd make that choice.
Yeah, and Matt Turner, the other goalkeeper, is going to Arsenal. And the question is how much is he going to actually play? So this could be a great move in the short term for the World Cup. I love how you laid this out, though, now, because you used the word relinquish, and in comes Stefan Ortega. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. The volume of games these teams play now. And look, yeah, I mean, you're at the training. You're seeing this. It's almost mind-boggling to me how little time these guys have. And you're making it very, very clear here. You're very much reiterating the intensity that it takes for individual footballers to play under Pep Guardiola. Is it sometimes just seem too much to you? Because here we are talking, and in a couple of weeks they're going to be here in the United States and traveling all over the globe preparing for another Premier League season.
Yeah, I think Man City are quite light actually this summer. They've only got a few friendly games, whereas Liverpool and United and Arsenal and I've got a few more, and I think as well Man City are obviously playing in Houston and then Green Bay, which is some distance, but I think Chelsea are playing in Florida and then Vegas, and certainly to us Brits, like flying the width of the USA just for a friendly is crazy. We're not used to those distances, so yeah, it's a lot. It's not getting any lighter, easier. The Champions League, there will be more games soon. All the tournaments are always expanding. The players just have to adapt as best they can. And, we sort of saw when the pandemic hit and football was played after that, that the tempo of matches was a bit less. There wasn't quite enough energy in as many squads because of the tight turnarounds, and we might see that this year with the World Cup. We might see that, some games are prioritised, or there's a general lack of energy comparatively across the season. We're going to have to see, but, money rules, and football is a business and football is a sport. And, they've been coming over to the US or China or Australia for many years now, and they will continue to do so. There's talk of having Champions League finals in New York or things like that. So I think there will only be more travel as the years go on.
One of the last times City was here, I saw them training in the Houston Dynamo Stadium, and it was serious business, and it was very, very impressive. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is serious business coming over. I understand the commercial and the branding and everything coming to the States, but I'm thinking Pep Guardiola here as a Premier League season right around the corner, July 20th, it's going to be serious business in preparation for a season.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's no secret that Guardiola loves the States. He had a year sabbatical in New York, but he Man City tend to go either to the Far East or to the US. And when they go to US, he is at home, he is relaxed, he's cracking jokes, he's determined and serious, but he knows that the facilities that they use, the conditions are perfect for what he wants. When he doesn't go to the US, he's not very happy at all, because he would, you can go pretty much anywhere in the States and you know what you're getting. And there's a certain level of quality that is always there. And then, you know, you can play in a football stadium, an American football stadium, a soccer stadium, whatever, you know, you're getting a good level, and the training facilities and everything and the conditions, whereas other places in the world, not so much. So, you know, City came to the US under Guardiola in 2017 when they came to Houston, and they got 100 points the next season. And they came back the next year and then they got 98 points in the Premier League. So, you know, a pre-season, as much as they are commercial commitments, like you say, they set you up for the season. And whenever City have been to the US with Pep, it has set them up really, really well. And they're not expecting any different this summer.
Simon, last one before I let you go. And thank you very much. We're all awaiting Manchester City and Club America July 20th here in Houston. You get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Having been to Manchester and the City Center and having had an amazing time there with a friend of mine named Tom Clare, an author who has written many books about Manchester United, that other team, what is it like for you to be in this, you know, just immense footballing city that you know, just has these two massive teams and clubs and support and interest? And, you know, for me to have experienced that coming there was remarkable. What's it like for you?
Yeah, it's amazing, really. It's amazing that two of the biggest and best kind of sporting brands in the world are so close. Within 6 kilometers or something, or 5 miles between the two stadiums. You know, you have households where mum is a blue and dad is a red. They both kind of support opposite teams, but they come together and you get, you know, it's a very welcoming city. You know, there is a rivalry, a big rivalry between the two teams. But at the same time, you know, Manchester as a whole unites behind its teams. You never get United wanting City to win or vice versa. But football just kind of bleeds through the city because it is a part of everyone's lives, really. There's no getting away from that. And Manchester United have been so huge for so long, but Man City have really come up in the last 10 years and also developed land kind of around where the stadium is and things like that. So their influence in the city is growing more and more kind of on top of the football. Like I say, it's kind of impossible to get away from the influence of the two football clubs because they're just kind of always there humming away in the backdrop or kind of really prominent on match days.
Well, Simon, listen, thank you so much for all this great insight. This is great for my listeners. By the way, I also wish you and your wife great success hopefully not a lot of sleepless nights with twins. And we much appreciate all the great information here. This is a wonderful interview. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. Hope the game goes well.
Okay, we'll keep things rolling here. Quick word here, though, for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Seek performance, find luxury at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down there, see Justin, see Steven, Advantage BMW in Midtown. They will give you the experience and premier service that you are used to. Excellence at Advantage BMW Midtown isn't just offered, it is expected. The service center is dedicated to putting your time first. The expert sales team can help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. That's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there, see Justin and Steven. And also don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock and at Soccer Matters GD. Take a break. We got more to come. How you was where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown. Driving all the old men crazy.
ESPN 97.5. Hello, Houston. Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture since 1982 on 2775 Fondren near Westheimer. Yes, what's happening at Danish Inspirations right now is our celebration of our 40th anniversary. Lots of great deals on floor samples and a great sale on Stressless, the famous and most comfortable chair from Norway to watch a soccer game in. Just ask Glenn Davis. Stressless has a great promotion going on right now, so come on in and sit down in a Stressless chair or sofa. And in the Euros for the women, the Danish Dynamite team, they beat Finland 1-0, and we now have to go into a great game here with Spain, and we have to win to go on to the next round. Spain can take a draw and we'll go on. A difficult task, but, you know, as you all know, it is soccer, and Spain is missing their superstar, and we are hopeful that it can be a tight win for Denmark. And in Denmark, the Superliga starts this Friday and this weekend. And so the usual suspects, FC Copenhagen and FC Midtjylland, are the favorites. But, you know, a lot of the other teams have got new players and will be challenging, especially, I think, Silkeborg EF, which is a very strong team in Denmark now. And they got in third last year. And I think they have a good possibility of maybe challenging. But FC Copenhagen still look the strongest team on paper. And from my sources in Denmark, I hear that a couple of MLS clubs are making offers on Danish players from the Super League. You have to remember that Danish players are fairly good price these days for compared to the Bundesliga or Premier League or the French League and so on. So you can get, if you can find the right talent in Denmark, you get a player with a lot of discipline, good soccer brain, and the MLS clubs have made offers. I know one has been rejected, but there's still a couple of MLS agents in Denmark, so we'll see what happens there. I'll keep you updated. So we are red, we are white, we are Danish Dynamite. DanishInspirations.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here in Houston, Texas. ESPN975.com is your home for the best in soccer talk, always self-proclaimed. And by the way, we are the soccer station in Houston, bar none on the English side. So if you're a soccer fan, you're a football fan, this is where you come. Support the station. Support Gal Media. That supports your game. We got a World Cup coming up. We got another one in 2026 we're going to be hosting in Houston. It's time to take this to another level with our great soccer talk. We got Hector Herrera in town. We got Manchester City coming to town with Club America. I mean, the times are good here, and they're only going to get better. All right. As we welcome you back, I want to quickly remind you here about Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren for the best in modern contemporary furniture. Jan Christensen, Danish Inspiration, should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. DanishInspirations.com to see the wide selection. And a big thank you to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture for their support of soccer in Houston and here on ESPN 97.5 with Soccer Matters. So big, big thank you to Jan Christensen, Yannick, his son, and all. All right. Also, let's not forget Manchester City coming to town here. They're going to take on Club America. We're getting closer and closer to this. It's July 20th. It's right around the corner. CopenhagenLoneStar.com is where you get your tickets, or at Ticketmaster. These are two of the world's biggest soccer clubs, big brands, Energy Stadium, Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, the new signing, Pep Guardiola running things for Manchester City. Plus, you got Club America with the likes of Jonathan Dos Santos, Miguel Layún, Guillermo Ochoa. And right now we're joined by one of Club America's top talents. You know him from Major League Soccer. You know him from his time at Barcelona and Villarreal in Liga MX. He is Jonathan Dos Santos, and he joins us now. All right. So, Jonah, let's just talk about the success recently with Club America under the new coach, Fernando Ortiz. What has changed since he's come to America?
Wow. It was a big change, to be honest. You can see in the locker room, you know, with my teammates. And also, Fernando is a great coach. He has a good, really good attitude, and he knows how to treat the the players that I think that is very important, and we are very happy with him, to be honest. We are doing really good. We got into the playoffs, so that's great. It's that we have to do, you know, from the beginning. We didn't have a good start, of course, but now I think the team is in a good way. We are enjoying, and I think the most important is that, you know, that we are enjoying to play soccer, and we are enjoying to come every day to train, you know, and we are happy. That's why we are playing well.
Talking to Jonah Dos Santos, you know him as Jonathan Dos Santos, fourth in the table, Club America, eighth straight without a loss. And of course, in the playoffs and looking forward to more. You know, I'm very familiar with your father, Zizinho, and his great career and the great person that he was. And I remember that he had wanted you to play for Club America. So where does this fit into your life and in the circle of life coming back to play for the club your father played for?
Wow, it's been like a dream, to be honest, because we always wanted to play in Club America, me, my brother, you know, and being here in the biggest club in Mexico. So it's kind of like I'm living the best moment of my life, you know. And also, you say my dad play here also. He did a really good job. Everybody knows him. And I hope that I can do well, good things here in the club. We can win a lot of trophies because at the end is what I want to do here. I want to be in the history of the club. And I'm really happy, to be honest. I'm really happy. I want to retire here. I'm very happy to be back to my country. I've been out of my country for like almost 20 years. So it's good to be back with my family, friends, all the culture, the food, the people. And yes, I'm very happy to be here in the biggest club in Mexico.
Talking to Jonathan Dos Santos, Club America. They will be in Houston July 20th to take on Manchester City. Okay, so I want to take you back to the 2019 Gold Cup final. Mexico wins that. You get the layoff from Raul Jimenez, but you got the game winner in this. I love this play because you have the ball at about the halfway line. You play it forward, you follow it, you end up scoring the goal. Just take me back to that moment and what at that time that meant in your career playing for Mexico.
Well, it was a dream. It was a dream, to be honest. I don't score a lot of goals. But when I score golazos, as we say here in Mexico, you know, in Spanish. So it was a good play. I was in the middle of the field. I started play. I knew that something else will happen because I was playing with a good players. I played the ball to Pizarro. Pizarro played with Raul, and Raul gave me a beautiful ball. I just have to put my my foot and score, you know. And so yes, it was really good. I really enjoyed that day. It was, I think, one of the better days in my life, in my career. And I will always remember, because also I was playing against USA.
So what is the rivalry like, really? I mean, is it really, do you really despise playing the U.S. or is there a mutual respect? No, there's one thing we know for sure. Both need each other.
It's a mutual respect, of course. It's one of the biggest rivals for Mexico, you know, and always when we play against them, we want to beat them, you know, but also we have a lot of respect for them. They are doing really good things right now. They have many players in Europe. Every year they're playing better, and they show it. They show in the qualifiers, you know, that they are doing a really good job. But yes, I think it's always good to play these kind of games against really good players.
Jonathan Dos Santos joining us of Club America. Let me take you back to Barcelona, because you were really little when you went over there. What's your memory of Barcelona? Because that's at a different period of your life when you're a lot younger.
Well, imagine a little kid from Mexico. From Mexico City, going to Europe, to one of the biggest clubs in the world, playing with the best players in the world, being coached for one of the best coaches in the world. So imagine it was a dream that no every king can tell, you know. So I'm really happy to have that experience, that story, and I would always be very thankful with Barcelona, because they always treat me like a because, you know, when you're a Mexican, you go to another country, there are a little bit of racism, you know, so sometimes you have to, it wasn't easy for me to be there the first year, but Barcelona like opened the doors, and they treat me, as I said, like very well, and always I would be thankful to them.
We're talking to Jonathan Dos Santos, who'll be in Houston July 20th, Club America, 13 titles historically. They're going for another one this year. We'll be taking on Manchester City. We might be seeing Manchester City as the champions of Europe that day. All right, so 20 years, you've been away, you're back now. You go from Villarreal to the LA Galaxy in Major League Soccer. How big of a change was this from the type of football played in La Liga to MLS, and how much of a challenge was that for you personally?
It was a big change for me, to be honest, because I thought that I was going to the MLS, I would play like walking, you know, but it wasn't true. I knew that I have to put all my effort to be a better player, because, you know, in the MLS, the game is different, you know, it's more like athletic, you have to run a lot, it's not like the La Liga, because more tactic, more quality, you know, and yes, I adapt.
Yeah, adapt.
I have to adapt, yes, I have to adapt, like, very quick, because as I say, in the first 6 months, I was, I want to play here, I come from La Liga, and it's going to be easy, but it wasn't. And it was a big change, but it was great. It was great, to be honest. I didn't win any title with LA Galaxy. It's something that I wanted to do, because I wanted to be in the history of the club. It couldn't happen, but I had a really good time. And as I always say, you know, I wanted to retire in LA Galaxy. It couldn't happen, but now I'm in the biggest club in Mexico, and also in my dream team. So I'm happy to be here, and also I hope I can retire here.
Jonathan Dos Santos was a two-time All-Star for the LA Galaxy. And, there's a tie here, because in the 80s, your uncle Beto, who you and I were talking about before we got on here, was a teammate of mine. He had come from Club America and didn't know English at the time. You're out in California where Beto is, and I know he's still doing a lot of player development and things. So you found out your uncle Beto is pretty popular, right?
I know. He was very popular. Yes, I know. I know that he had a lot of friends in Los Angeles, or even that around the world. And he was a good player. He was a good player. He was a great player. He was a good person, as you say. And now I think he's – I don't know if he's coaching right now, a kid, or I don't know.
Yeah, still.
Academy, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And everybody talks really nice things about him. So yeah, it's good to have – a great family, you know, like my uncle, my dad, everybody like say beautiful things about them.
He was very proud of you. Whenever I talk to him, we talk about you and your brother Gio. He's very, very proud of you. I was glad, because he was a central midfielder and he was very skilled. So I get the ball and give it to him.
I know. I saw him playing, and he was really good. He was really good.
Really
he had
good.
A lot of quality.
Amazing family, you know, with all the football that's in your family. It's pretty amazing. We're talking to Jonathan Dos Santos here. So speaking of Houston, was there ever a time that Houston was considering you to come here, or you had interest to play here at all, simply
because
of MLS?
No, we never talked about it. No, we didn't have like communication, talking. I don't know how to say
right. Yeah.
Communication. And I knew that it would be difficult, because I'm already 32, and now I think they are looking for players younger, you know. So I knew that it would be difficult, but no, I wasn't. We haven't had like communication with the team.
It's funny, because there was a rumor down here, and everybody was like, Dos Santos to Houston. It would have been great. We will tell the story then about your uncle playing here too.
It would be great, because it's a good city, it's a good club.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't happen. So.
All right, so let me.
I'm here in America, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I was just tying it into Houston. We're talking to Jonathan Dos Santos. So Hector Herrera is going to come to Houston in July from Atletico Madrid. Have you had any conversation about him? Has he asked you about the league? I'm just curious.
Yes, I was talking with him, and he's very happy. He's very happy. I explained to him about the league. I know that he will love it, because they're doing great. They're like growing up. They're doing all the things with all the teams. They're bringing a lot of good players, and I know that Herrera is going to be one of the biggest players in the league. He's going to do good things. He's going to help the league, of course, to grow up, no? And also the league, I think they're going to watch it around the world. So I'm happy for him. It's going to be a big change for him because also he was playing in one of the best leagues. But as I say, I know that MLS is going to be one of the biggest leagues in the future, 100%.
Jonathan, how do you describe your national team teammate, Hector Herrera, as a player?
As a player?
Yes.
Different. He's a different player. He has a lot of quality. He knows what to do with the ball all the time. He never loses balls. And he's a different guy. I love to play with him when we were together in the national team because we like it to play that kind of tiki-taka, you know, and we are similar in that. And we always love it to play together. But yes, I think he's different. And we are lucky with that we have him in the national team, you know.
Last question. What's the pressure like playing for Club America? Express that to my listeners.
It's a big pressure because we are in the big team, the biggest team in Mexico. So we know the pressure that we have. We know that if you are here, you have to win titles.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. You have to win titles. So yes, the pressure is always in every day. You know, in every training, we know that you have to give everything, every training, every day. But it's good. It's a good pressure. I think any player would like to have this kind of pressure in being one of the biggest team in Mexico, of course.
Jonathan, thank you very much for giving us this much time. We appreciate it. You're definitely a Dos Santos. You're in the mold of your uncle, who I know very well,
and your
father, Zizinho. So thank you very much for coming on today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and it was a pleasure.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on here, and a big thank you to everybody tuning in here tonight. You do get the sense this was a little bit pre-recorded. That's okay. We'll get back to our normal time next week, and we'll open the phone lines up and give away a lot of tickets. Hey, LamontBrands.com. Now, if you need printing needs, these two guys are great, the Lamont brothers. LamontBrands.com. They've got the Soccer Matters t-shirt. All you do is go to the website, LamontBrands.com. It's very easy. You click on the t-shirt. It's a very reasonably priced, very good quality t-shirt. All the proceeds, if you buy it, go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness, fundraising, and this show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. You know that through all the years of listening to the program. By the way, how lucky have I been? I've had this show on the air for over 20 years in a variety of places, starting on public radio, then over at what was called the Sports Animal, and then to the best home I could ever have here on ESPN 97.5, where the game is respected by all. So a big, big thank you. And can't avoid soccer now in coverage of it. You can't. If you do, you're leaving money on the table, and you're missing out on unique listeners, viewers, and readers. So just keep that very simple piece of advice in mind. All right, into it we go.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And a reminder, it's every Monday night in Austin. If you want to hear the Austin show, it's hornfm.com. And of course, every Tuesday night here, it's 2 hours of the best in soccer talk, ESPN 975.com. Your very humble host, Glenn Davis. And I got a big appreciation for all of you throughout the years who have followed this show, who come up to me and talk about it. There's nothing better than getting the direct feedback from you, the fan. That tells me something has gone right over the years, and obviously that we've just got amazing passion for the sport here in Houston. We want to talk about it. Let's keep doing it. And by the way, you can disagree with the host, and you can also call into the show and let people know your feelings. The waters are fine in here. It's fine to disagree. We do need people to debate, talk, and continue the great passion for the sport. All right, final segment of the night again. We got to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Look,
they're the presenting sponsors of this show. That means they are really the main focal point. They are our Hector Herrera when it comes to this show. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're committed to working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. If you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you might work in a refinery. These are uncomfortable times, but you do have to get representation. And that's when you call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, DaspitLaw.com. They're on your side, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. In Houston, DaspitLaw, Austin.com. In Austin, Texas, and Soccer Matters, myself, Glenn Davis. Very indebted to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for getting the game on the air, on the airwaves of the radio, and then streaming on the internet. Podcasts available at ESPN975.com. And a big, big reminder here, and I like to say this a lot. If football, soccer is your game, support the sponsors that support your game. Just keep that in mind when you're seeking to spend your dollars. Now, we're joined by the GM of the team. He is Pat Onstad. Pat, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. All right, so here we are. We're at enough of the press conferences, enough of the media. We're ready to get Hector Herrera on the field. How are you feeling right now around this historic signing that you played a big part in?
Yeah, really excited. That's it feels like he's been here for a while, just because we've been talking about it for a while, but I think it'll be a huge boost for us, for our fan base, and for our club in general, and also the city, for him when he steps on the field. You know, hopefully that's on Saturday, that he's eligible today. I can confidently say today the transfer, or the ITC's got transferred, so he is officially on the roster, so, which is nice. Not that it's a big deal, it's a kind of a stepping stone, but he is available for Saturday, so we're excited.
The club, myself, we've been all pushing out that this is his debut. How does that work? Are we assured he's going to play in this, since we've been saying it's his debut?
Well, I hope so. You know, but funny things can happen. He's been training. What I can say is he's been training all week, and right now is very healthy. So we're hoping that he'll be. It's up to Paulo. Paulo. So if anyone's going to point fingers, if he's healthy and Paulo decides not to play, and that's Paulo's choice. But we know the quality he can bring, and he's brought a lot already to training this week. It's you can tell the guys are excited about it as well. So I think it'll be a big moment here in the history of the Houston Dynamo.
No question about it. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, take me into training, because you and I were down there yesterday or Wednesday.
Yep.
And we were looking at him, and there's just an error about him, the way he moves and the way he does things. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Well, there's a reason he played at FC Porto and Atletico Madrid. He's a top player. I think when you're around those players, and I've been fortunate to play against them. I haven't been able to play with a ton of them. Certainly from an international standpoint, I got to play against some with Canada. And they just, to your point, they carry themselves differently. It's almost like they glide around the field. And I always compare it to my Canadian roots with the Wayne Gretzky, and watching, like, the guy didn't look the most fluid and everything, but he's always there, always ahead of the play, can read the game very well. And you can see Hector's ability, and just his ability to understand what's going to happen the next play, and be prepared for the next play and the next pass. It's phenomenal. It's really nice to watch close up.
How does that change when he comes to MLS? Because that ability to see things, and I'm trying to remember the word they call it, scanning, I guess, is the word that there are certain players that see things quicker than others and are able to take these snapshots. Maybe you can take us into that.
Yeah, he does. And he just reads the game faster. And part of it's he's been there, done that, and he's trained on a regular basis at a faster speed than we train at, really. And that's just the level of our league at this point. Oh, we're vastly catching up. It's certainly a lot faster than when I trained. And I'm sure a lot of the ex-Dynamo guys will tell you the same thing. So it's nice to see that it is improving, and we're improving by leaps and bounds. But he's a guy that's played at the highest levels. And the one thing I noticed is he's already kind of helping guys, like, hey, you should be here when this happens, and don't be afraid to tuck in here. And it's less to do with the rah-rah, like, hey, go get stuck in and win a pass, but more to be about positionally, to be aware of what's happening around you and where he wants people around him, so he can show off what his talent as well. So it's been interesting to watch, and I think the guys are excited being able to play with him. It's always nice to say you get to play with a guy of his level. But at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And the biggest thing we need now for our group is to start winning games. And we're excited about the challenges ahead of us on Saturday.
Matt, this has got to be a little tricky for you and Paulo Nagamura and Asher Mendelsohn, the competitive side of things, because you've got to be very careful, right, with the hype and everything, to use him effectively with the volume of games. There's a game on Tuesday. You know, I don't know how much training. You said he did come in very fit, which doesn't surprise, yep, I think, any of us. Yeah. But it is tricky, right?
It is. And, you know, Paul Caffrey, our head of performance, has done a good job. He's pushed him pretty hard. I know Hector's taking a little – the heat is the real here until you experience it and train in it for a little while. So we will we'll be careful, make sure that he stays fit for this window. And we think if we can get him through this window that he'll, you know, get his feet underneath him and be ready to go for us. But we're also in the position, unfortunately, that we need to win games. And we got to get points on the board. You know, I think we were all very disappointed in the Charlotte performance and even coming off of the Portland performance, because I know we lost the game in Portland, but I would argue we outshot them. I think it was 24-11. Our expected goals was about 3-1, and we lose 2-1. It was probably certainly I can comfortably say, and that includes a 3-0 win in LA, was our best road performance of the season and arguably maybe our best performance. So I think we were on it, felt like we're in a pretty good high. You know, the Chicago game was interesting. We won 2-0. I think we controlled that game. That was a controlled win. I don't think we played our best stuff, but the Portland, you felt like, okay, now we're playing our best stuff. Well, obviously lost, and then we unfortunately laid an egg against Charlotte. I don't think Paulo hid that in his post-game conference either. So for us, we need to bounce back, and no better one to do it against our biggest rival in Dallas.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, restructuring the roster, turning things around. If I take you into Hector Herrera, to get the best out of Hector Herrera, does that mean you need to make some additional big signings in whatever transfer window it is? Could be this
it's going to be difficult in this one. I'll be just flat out honest. We're a couple of reasons. One is we're in roster spots. We're tight. Number two, and most importantly, really, is we don't have the roster financial flexibility at this stage. We're pretty tied up most of our money. We do have some room for a one, possibly two additions, of which we're trying to get across the line. And we'll keep working until the window closes to try to get that done. And I think the other one that people are pretty well aware of, but the international slot position that we have here, the one we traded away, you know, 12 years ago for a lifetime, this cost us over, you know, $2+ million really in the lifetime of that deal. And then also one more for the Corey Baird. So we're up against it. We're going to have to try to find that. And when you don't have a lot of money to spend to begin with, it becomes tricky. But we've got flexibility, and we've got some ideas, and we've got some targets that we're close to. I wouldn't say necessarily in the next 48 hours, but I would hope sooner than later.
Under 22 initiative, does this come into play here?
Yeah, it does for flexibility for the roster. So if people are hoping we're bringing in, you know, another 32-year-old, like with the experience of Hector, another DP, where our DP slots are used up. So we're not able to bring in a DP. But with the flexibility of the youth player slot is that it's a nice cap-friendly player, but it also gives us some opportunity to use some ownership money. And Ted, like I've said from day one, you know, that he's been willing to help us out and support us, to help us try to build the best squad that we can.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. We're talking about transfer windows. And look, I think all of us on the outside, myself included, you know, every time I talk to you, I learn a little bit more about the inner workings, which I'm not sure anybody can ever say they're a master's in it. Because
as long as you didn't say the inner workings of my mind, then you're in good shape. As long as you said the inner workings of the MLS salary cap.
Player categories, the salary cap. Maybe take us into how difficult this is in a lot of ways, because it's just not as simple as, hey, we got money, we want to go get a player.
Yeah, but it is difficult, but it's also I think it's challenging. And we were you know, speaking to someone today about scouting in our league, and so what's that like? I said it's interesting because you have if you're in a Premier League, you kind of go look for the best players possible in each position, or a guy that'll fit your game model, but you're willing to spend millions of dollars. You're obviously in a different world than that we're shopping in, or a different supermarket. But it's kind of fun is that you're looking at and saying, okay, we have X amount of dollars. We have, here's a price that we can pay, and let's go try to find those. And when you're in that world, while it's challenging, it's also enjoyable because you're trying to find that the best piece that will fit your game model, fit your club. And at that, with the price point that you're able to spend. So while it is challenging at times, it really just comes down to figuring out exactly what you can and cannot do. And you are limited. So it's not like you all of a sudden you have 5,000 players that are in front of you. You really have a group of 15 to 20 guys, and you've got to kind of narrow in and try to see which one you can get over the line.
How tough has it been to turn around this roster to this point?
Yeah, I think for us, what we wanted to find out exactly what we had, and you know, all for transparency, I guess, is defensively we've probably even exceeded what we expected. I think defensively we've been very good. You know, last year we gave 54 goals. We're at, I think, 23 this year. You know, and fortunately, I think some of our signings have panned out well in those positions. I think Steve Clark's been a good signing for us. That's been good. I think Daniel Stairs has stepped up and done a good job for us. I think, you know, I think basically our whole bag, Zach has come in now and has kind of got his feet underneath him and has helped us on the ball. So we're pretty happy with the way defensively. And I think in central midfield, we've been happy with that, kind of getting Coco on. But the reality is we're not creating as much. We're creating more this year offensively, but not significantly. And I think if we want to be a playoff team, which we still believe we are, we need to get better in creating more goal scoring opportunities. I think our XG is pretty much lines up with our goals. It's about 22 and expected goals. Sorry for the XG stuff. I get a little data geek once in a while. And then 22 goals scored. So we're very kind of on par. We've expected to give up a few more goals and we've done better than we've expected, but we are who we are at this point in the season. And so we're going to have to, you know, one, we can get a little bit of help, try to bring someone in, but also it's not the sexiest response, but we're going to have to try to figure it out from within. One of the options, obviously bringing in Hector is, and this is, again, this is all down to Paulo, and these are discussions we've had, but Paulo's not going to tip his cards. He's going to side, but what does that do for DQ? Does DQ now play in one of the wide positions? Does that give us an opportunity to change things up in a little formation, systems of play? It's really going to depend on what Paulo wants to do. But that could be like another signing in itself. And can we try to find the right combination? You know, it was great to see Fafa come off the bench and bang one in. You know, it's been for him, you'd probably say it's been a tough season for him, but it was great to see him keep his attitude, you know, positive and fight through it. And then came and scored a goal and gave us a chance in that game the other day.
Is there a sense of urgency on you to get a signing done in this window?
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency all the time. Yeah, for me, there is.
Based on the immediate season and making the playoffs. Yeah, 100%. You guys have put the bar at making the playoffs.
Yeah, and then we're still laying it down. That's our goal, and we still believe we've got the opportunity to do it. You know, obviously the window's closing if we don't continue to pick up points. But, yeah, I want to try to get someone in here as soon as possible. It takes time to acclimatize and on two fronts, getting used to the system and the player, but also the weather. So we're trying to get guys done and trying to get across. We'd hope to get a couple done, to be honest, in the last week or so. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't pan out. So we'll just keep working until we do.
How do you position this with Sebas Ferreira? You know, because look, obviously he's accountable for his game, as is everybody. Yep. And by the way, nobody's bagging on anybody here. This is just legitimate soccer talk.
Yep.
But also, when we mention those four guys and their lack of production, that does have an effect on a traditional leaning center forward.
Yeah,
right?
And Sebastian is a guy that relies on service. He's, you know, at times he probably tries too much to try to create his own shot, and that's not his game. And never, certainly that I've been following him for a few years before we signed him, it was never something that you saw in his game. And at times you can tell when he's pressing and he hasn't been scoring, he starts to try to become that player. Which I'd rather him leave that to Darwin Quintero. Darwin can do that, but Sebastian should just try to get in the box. But if he's not getting service, in all fairness to him, it becomes difficult as a forward to score goals if you're not getting the ball in the box. But that's not to say, you know, there's lots of different ways that we can create that service. It doesn't have to be from, oh, we're not getting wide service. That's not true. Our fullbacks could get higher up the field. Our central midfielders could feed him as well. So there's lots of ways for him to get service. The last thing I want to do is say it's because of X, Y, and Z. You know, it's a team game. And right now, like I said earlier, I think in this conversation is we are who we are. This is right now we're a team that's anywhere from, depending on the games, 4 to 6 points out. And we've got to figure out a way to make that gap up and try to get in the playoffs.
For the record, though, it's still playoffs, right?
That's it. No, we're not changing anything. No. You know, we believe we can get there. We believe we have the team, regardless of whether we add someone or not. We believe we have the team and the personnel here that can qualify for the playoffs. Are we saying it's going to be easy? Absolutely not. That's not, as they say, the line? Something along the lines, it's not rewarding unless it's difficult. But that's certainly what we believe in. And this group is striving for it. The players still believe in it. I think like I said, I think the Charlotte game from them was really disappointing from a club standpoint, because we felt that was a game that we really wanted those 3 points and to stay really close to the hunt. But so now we're gonna have to find three somewhere else. That's how it goes. And we're gonna have to be better than we have been, but I think we can do that.
Pat, great interview. Thanks for the transparency. And I think most importantly, the fans appreciate the transparency and talking about all these different issues. This is a great interview, great information. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Remember, tomorrow night, it is the Houston Dash in action against the Chicago Red Stars. You can catch that at AT&T Sportsnet or get tickets, HoustonDash.com. Sunday night, right back on AT&T Sportsnet again. You can join Eddie Robinson and myself. We'll have the call of the Houston Dynamo at the San Jose Earthquakes. For our producer, John, Andrew Carlson, all of you who tuned in tonight, all of you who hit the podcast, hit that podcast, listen to it when you want to if you can't do it live. And remember, Soccer Matters here. You get the podcast at ESPN 975. The show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Grab those LamontBrands.com Soccer Matters t-shirts. People are going to come up to you. They're going to talk about them. And remember, it's all for the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, to help fight pediatric cancer. Indebted to all of you, I'm Glenn Davis. And until next Tuesday night in Houston and Monday in Austin, have a good weekend.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.